Glad to be here today.
Amen.
Wouldn't trade anything for what we felt this morning.
Amen.
And, if you got your Bibles real quick, I'm going to take some scripture out of John chapter 9, and then we're going to read a little bit maybe out of the book of Luke, or reference a little bit there. And we may finish up in, with a verse in 2 Timothy. But I just want to do what God would have us to do today.
And,
don't want to do anything in ourselves.
Yeah.
If we got in ourselves at this point, we'd just spoil the whole day.
Amen.
I think we just allowed God to move and thank Him for everything that He's done. John chapter 9, the Bible says this, and I'm going to read the portion, and then I'm going to skip down a little bit further. John chapter 9, it says, And as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way thereof and washed and came seeing. And I'm going to skip on down because we know he had done this. Christ had performed this. And the Pharisees and Sadducees, there began to be an uproar around them. In verse 16, I want to like to take a scripture there before we go down and read another verse. It says, therefore, some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Then as we skip down, read one more verse. It says down there that in verse 25, and he said and answered, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know is that whereas I was blind, now I see. And you can be seated today. But the thought that we had really this morning was taken out of verse 16. And we all know the story about the man being blind from birth. We know that there's several people in the Bible that the Lord healed from natural blindness. But the Bible says that this particular man was different in that he was blind from birth. He had never seen the light of day. He didn't know what it was. And nonetheless, he was with his parents that day. But word had already gotten out. I'm going to lay some background, some things before we get to the heart of the message. But word had already gotten out that the Pharisees and Sadducees had already said among themselves that if anybody claims Christ, that they're going to put him out of the temple. In other words, they're going to exclude him, expel him, get rid of him out of the temple because of the things that Jesus had done had so offended the Pharisees and all the religious teachers of the day. And so it was that they come by the way in chapter 9, and the Bible says that this man being blind from birth, Jesus sees him there, and the disciples begin to ask, who sinned, this man or his parents? And notice as we were sitting there, I thought about this after the Sunday school lesson this morning, that Jesus began to tell him that this man hadn't sinned and his parents didn't sin. But this thing was done so that the works of God should be made manifest. In other words, the man was born blind because God had a purpose for the man to be born blind. And when it come time, God was going to fulfill the purpose that he had in this man's life. And it wasn't for those to know exactly why he was blind, or his parents to know why he was blind, or even the man himself to know why he was blind. But I'm just glad when the time come, God was right on time with it. The purpose was ready to be revealed. And the Bible says that as Jesus was talking to him, he said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. But notice what God was fixing to do. I believe this with all my heart, even though the Bible didn't say it here. Jesus was the light of the world. We know that. But he was getting ready to go away. We know that. And might I simply say that when he left, there was a man who was born blind that began to shed a light that became a light in the world because God had fulfilled the purpose in the man's life. Hey, listen, on the day that he met Jesus, how many of us here this morning realized what our purpose was in life before we were saved and then after we were saved? I never knew what my purpose was until God saved me and I was born again. Hey, listen, and he called me with a holy calling, not according to my own will, but according to his purpose. That was the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. As Paul And might I say this today, that not only was this man called, not only was I called, but I'm glad that Jesus come into this world to call every man, woman, boy, or girl to ever be born. Hey, listen, in this life, there's a calling that awaits each and every one of us. And it's not according to our purpose and not according to our own good and not according to our own righteousness. But I'm glad that God calls us. Hey, listen, He calls the rich. He calls the poor. He calls the blind. He calls those that can see. He calls everybody. It doesn't matter, boy or girl, young or old. It doesn't much matter. But I'm glad that God has a calling and a purpose for everybody. Thank the Lord that He does. Hey, listen, and on this particular day, hey, listen, this man was pulled out of the crowd. He was blind from the time that he was born. And Jesus had a purpose for him, to touch him. And to, hey, listen, so that the works of God could be made manifest in the eyes of all the people in the crowd that day. Not only them, but this man's parents. And not only them, but the Pharisees and the religious leaders. And all of those that tried to put down the things of God. And hey, listen, they tried to diminish the life of Christ. But here he was. Hey, listen, he touched this man. He made spittle, put it in his eyes, and said, "Now go wash in the pool of Siloam." In other words, I'm sending you down there for a purpose and a reason. Hey, listen, it wasn't for just anything. It was so the man could wash that precious spittle made of clay in the clay out of his eyes. But our loving Savior dabbed himself and put on that man. And when that happened, the Bible says his eyes were open and he come seeing. Don't you remember when you went to the altar blind, and when you got up, you come seeing for the first time, you realized what God had done for you. Thank God, and you knew that you had someone that loved you more than mom and dad, that cared for you more than anybody else. Hey, I might have went down a sinner, but when I got up, I was altogether different. That man said, "I don't know what happened to me. I don't even know who it was that touched me. But I do know that I was blind and now I see." Oh, listen, the Bible says, verse 16, the Pharisees, they begin to say, "Well, what happened to this man? This man Jesus, he's not of God. He did this on the Sabbath day." They were so caught up in their own self-righteousness that they looked past the work of God. Listen, the other said, "Well, this man had to be of God, for how can anybody do such a thing?" And there was a division among the Pharisees. I want you to know something. I thought about that this morning. In 2019, there still seems to be a division about what Jesus is doing in the world today. But I'm glad in my heart, I'm not divided one bit. I'm absolutely united in lockstep with God because of what He did for me and because of what the Holy Ghost does for me. They were divided. And they got so mad, I believe they were mad at each other because they weren't on the same front. Hey, listen, I know sometimes it seems like the world is utterly against God, and it is. But I'll say this, the world will fight among themselves too, because they're not in unity at all, because they're nothing but, they're full of hatred. Hatred, I believe they probably hate themselves when it's all said and done. They hate one another. Hey, listen, and they're just simply joined because they think they've got a common enemy. And the sad part is, they think the enemy is God. If they only realize that the purpose of Jesus Christ and what He come for was to heal them and not separate them. His sole purpose was to, hey, listen, come in and forgive them of their sins. But because they got too much pride in their heart and in their life, people want to look at the work of God and consider the work of God. And instead of rejoicing and embracing the love of God, they shun Him and divide and separate themselves from God. That's what they do. Pharisees got mad. They begin to make claims. And the other ones in the crowd, they said, "Well, wait a minute, that can't be." So there was a division among themselves. And so when it was, they went to this man's parents and they said, "Hey, listen, you better tell us, is that your son?" And they said, "We know it's our son." And they said, "Was he blind from birth?" And they said, "Yeah, he's been blind from birth." So, "Well, you better go in and denounce what has been done by this man." And they said, "He's of age, ask him." In other words, they were too afraid. Hey, listen, to be expelled from the temple. And they didn't really know exactly what happened to their child, but they knew it was still their child.
But instead of standing up for their son and hugging him, hey, listen, they kind of separated and distanced themselves from him and said, well, don't throw us out of the temple. Ask him. There he is. He's of age. And they went to that man and they said, you better tell us what happened to you. And he said, I was blind, now I see. They said, well, who did this to you? Because the man that touched you was a sinner. He said, hey, I don't know if he was a sinner or not, but I do know that I was blind and now I see. Hey, listen, I don't know all there is to know about Jesus Christ. I wish I did. I wish I could sit right at his feet. I wish I could hold his hand. I wish I could hug his neck. I wish I could sit down with him. Hey, listen, and just have a conversation with him. I wish I could just eat, listen, of everything that he had to give me. I wish I could grow in grace and love. I wish I could walk close to him, next to him every day of my life. But I can't do that. But what I do know, even though I've never laid eyes on him, I know that he touched me. I know that he saved me. I know that he walks with me. I know that he talks with me. I know he's the dearest friend I ever had. Hey, listen, you don't have to get far in life. I don't have to sit down very long to tell you what happened. But what I do know, I was lost, and now I'm saved because of Jesus. Man said, I can't tell you all about him. I can only tell you what he did for me. And listen, I can't tell you of all the wonderful works that Jesus did. John said they haven't been recorded. He said if they were written down, the volume of books that would be written could not be contained in the world itself. But I can only tell you what he did for me. Might I say what he did for me? What was the greatest thing that ever happened to me? Oh, listen, this man was, and so it was, that he just began to tell them what had happened. And they excluded him out of the temple. They expelled him, got rid of him because they didn't like what he had to say. There's a lot of people in our world today, they want to get rid of those that will stand for Christ. They don't want them to be in the crowd. They don't want them to be in their club. They don't want to be in part of the clique. That's okay. This man found himself outside the temple. In that day, in that time, according to Jewish law and Jewish tradition, that's the one place a Jew didn't want to find himself, was outside of the temple to be expelled. Because to the rest of society, you were an outcast. But listen, while that man was in that condition and they had already kicked him out, he was no longer a friend of the Pharisees and no longer a friend of the world, Jesus come walking by his way. Hey, listen, it didn't matter what the Pharisees had to say. Didn't matter what the world had to say. He had a friend in God. He had a friend in Jesus. And I said that to say this. It don't matter what the world has to say about me. They can hate my guts as far as I'm concerned. Hey, listen, people can put me down. They can talk about me. They can lie about me. But all I know is this. At the end of the day, I'm going to lay my head down. I'm going to sleep well at night. Because I've got a friend in Jesus. And when they lay me in the grave, it's not going to matter who has anything nice to say. It don't matter who sings at my funeral. It don't matter who preaches at my funeral. It don't matter who comes and looks at me. And listen, and they still might hate me when they walk by. And it still won't matter to me, because by then I'll be long gone. I'll be at rest in the arms of my Savior. And listen, I'll be laid down into a place, a better place than his. And listen, I will have finally reached my long home. The home I've sung about, the home I've prayed. Listen, I've thought about, the home I've preached about. Hey, listen, and I'll never, ever feel the flames of hell on my feet. I'll never taste the sting of death. Hey, listen, my spiritual man, bless God, because I have victory in Christ Jesus. And he absolutely is the dearest friend that I've ever had. The word that I thought about this morning was division. The word division means the active process of dividing, or a state of being divided. The world is still divided today. And we know that Jesus, when he began to do the works of his Father, that there was a great division that took place. I want to read some scriptures in Luke chapter 12. The Bible says this. Jesus said in Luke 12:49, I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Exclamation point there. He said, suppose ye that I come to give peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. There's a lot of homes today that are divided.
That's right.
Because there are those in the homes that believe in God. And those in the homes that do not believe in God. Jesus had to come, and the division that he caused was not to a detriment, but was actually to the benefit. Because there was a time when I could tell you this morning that even in my own parents' house, it was divided. My mom was saved. My dad was an alcoholic. But it was through the power of God that he did in one person's life, and the light that one person shined into the life of another. Hey, listen, that those lost and who were separated from the Word of God and the power of God and the love of God could see the difference that there was in God. And so when Jesus said here, he said, I'm not come to send fire on the earth. Hey, listen, what he was telling them, I didn't come down here to judge everybody. Because if I was judging everybody, that fire's already been kindled. Because the judgment and the wrath of God is already upon this earth. And so Jesus didn't come to bring judgment. Hey, listen, because judgment begins at the house of the Lord. And Christ told him in one place, he said, I don't judge you. The Word will judge you. And so therefore, the Word of God had already been delivered, had already been sent out. And sin had already reached the gates of heaven. And God had already pronounced judgment on the whole world. But until that time come, Jesus said, I'm going to come and I'm going to do the will of my Father and the Word of my Father. And I'm going to bring a division so that the whole world that was destined for hell and the lake of fire, I can divide those out of that place if they simply believe and have faith in me. I can pull them out of the flame because of my precious blood. I didn't come here to judge you. I came here to divide you. But y'all need to know that you can all be united if you just have faith and believe me. But he knew that not everybody would believe. But even though he knew not everybody believed, he still went to Calvary. And I said this, and we've heard it said before. I believe if one soul, hey listen, would have called out on his name, and God knew that there was hope for one, he would have still sent his own son. And I'll say this, that God's love was so great that if no man ever claimed him or no one ever fell at his feet, I believe that he would have still sent his own son to die for a corrupt world. Why? Because God loved mankind that he had formed. After all, he made us in his own image. He breathed his own breath inside of us. Hey, listen, it was sin that separated. It was the blood of Christ that unites us together. Through the disobedience of one man, all were made sinners. But through the obedience of one, we all may be, hey listen, we can all find repentance and be made after the righteousness of God. And so Christ said, I did not come to bring fire in the earth. He said, but I didn't come to do that. I've come to cause a division, a rather division. And listen, and I noticed that, and Christ went on and he talked about the house of the five and the three against two and two against three and the father against the son, mother against the daughter, and mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law. But I'm going to say this. Because we can look at it in that context, and I believe we'd be justified in doing so, because Christ come to seek and to save that which was lost. And when he does that, and when we are saved, we mentioned that in Sunday school this morning, we are divided from the world. We're separated. We are set apart. Think about what I said about what division is, the actual process of dividing, or the state of being divided. When we are born again, we are no longer a part of this world. We could have said, Christ could have said, friend against friend. Hey, listen, because when we were saved and born again, the people that we once hung out with, all of a sudden we didn't have anything in common with them anymore. And you could say, family, he was right. Hey, Christ was absolutely right. Because when we were born again, there were people in our own family that decided they didn't want to be around us anymore. They don't want to be around those because all they do is talk about the church. All they do is seem to be concerned for my soul. All they want to do is tell me I need to come to church. All they do is tell me about Christ. All they want to do is tell me about the love of God. All they want to do is tell me, hey, listen, all these things that I shouldn't be doing. They want to beg me to come to church. I don't want to have any part of that. What happens? Hey, listen, we're divided from them. We don't choose to be. But when we're born again, we don't have any part of it. And when we're separated from the world don't want to have any part of us. So we understand that. But we ought to be like the blind man. We don't have to know everything. We just have to know what God did for us. Let our light shine. Live for God. Brother Chester came in and was sitting there this morning. And I walked by and he says, you know how you please the Lord? And he said, by obeying him. And I said, obedience is better than sacrifice. God's not interested in how many people I drag to church. However, God is interested in how I live my life in front of those people outside of this church. We ought to live our life outside the church the same way we do inside the church. When we walk through those doors, we don't put off the things that we carried all week and put on our religious robes. Hey, listen, we come to the house of God, we come the same way that we left the last time. Oh, we might be weak. Oh, we might have been beaten down. But we still got the fire. We still got the love of God. Hey, listen, and we've not wallowed in the things of the world all week. We have to try to shed them off and pull the wool over the people in the church's eyes. But we come walking in a child of God. And we walk out there a child of God. We are living in the world as children of God. We are not the children of the devil. We are not the children of the world. We have a Savior. We have a Redeemer. We have a High Priest. Hey, listen, we are born in the newness of life, to walk in the likeness of Christ, that we might shed our light and shine our light to a lost and dying world. And when they look at you and say, what's different about you? I don't know, but let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Hey, listen, and when I tell you what he did for me, you'll start to understand the difference there is in me. Because the things I once thought, I don't think anymore. The things I once perceived, I don't perceive anymore. The things I hated, now I love. Hey, listen, and the things I despise, and the things I love, now I despise. Oh, but thank God, the world didn't do that. I didn't wake up one day and decide to live that way. I come to Jesus and he made me different. No one's turning over a new leaf. You don't have the power. A lot of people think they do. They're lying to themselves and they're believing a lie. Satan will tell you to try harder and you can do it on your own. Well, if that's the case, then Christ would never shed his precious blood at Calvary. Because he knew you couldn't do it on your own. You needed him. And the last thing I thought about this division was how God divides us carnally among ourselves. And this was mentioned in Sunday school. And I struggled with this at home. And I thought, Lord, I don't even know where this is going. But just like Brother Chris said, all of a sudden we come in and God begins to put everything together. You remember when you were in a carnal mind and lost in that state and you didn't want to have to do anything to do with the church either. You didn't want to have anything to do with your parents who loved the Lord or your friends that went to church or those that you were acquainted with, maybe a family member. You thought about them and you loved them, but you didn't really care to be around them. And heaven forbid that you were around them on a Saturday night because you knew what the question was going to be before you separated from them. You knew what they were going to ask you before you left. You're going to go to church tomorrow? Would you like to go to church with me tomorrow? That's the last thing you wanted to hear. And oftentimes you might even get, well, I might. I don't know. I'll see what happens. Knowing in your heart that you had absolutely no intention on going to church. And you thought, I don't need that. I don't need that. But yet they shine their light. And they shine their light. And they loved you anyway. And they shine their light. Y'all get that? They shine their light. Did they beat you over the head? No, they shine their light. Amen. Did they scold you? No, they shine their light. Amen. They showed you the love of God. Amen. They prayed for you when no one else was praying for you. Amen. When no one else wanted to have anything to do with you, they were praying for you. And all of a sudden, that mighty hand of God come down. Amen. And Jesus come Amen. Walking by your way.
Amen.
Just like that blind man from birth, never seen the light of day. All of a sudden, Jesus was in the presence.
Yes. Thank you, God.
And I remember when the Lord come by my way in this church. I'd been in this church many times. Many of you might have been in the place where you got saved many times before. You might have sat there in the same pew. You might have listened to the songs. You might have heard the message. You might have went away and said, "That's pretty good." You might have went away mad and said, "I ain't coming back." You might have went away and said, "I'll just do better," believing the same lie that the devil told you the week before. But don't you remember when Jesus stopped where you were?
Yeah.
And he began to put that big hand on your heart.
Hey.
And he began to divide your carnal mind from your heart.
Hey.
And in your mind you were thinking, "I don't need this."
Yeah.
But all Jesus wasn't speaking to your mind. He was dealing with your heart.
That's right.
And there was a warfare that began to take place.
Because
your heart was burning inside saying, and pounding out of your chest going, I need something different. This is different. This is new. I've never felt this before. Hey, listen, that blind man never felt that clay made with that spittle put on his eyes ever before. And when God begins to touch your heart, it's altogether different from anything that you've ever felt. And when that Spirit begins to speak into you, hey, listen, into your heart, it's altogether different from anything that you've heard before. In your mind, you're struggling with it. Sit here. Sit here. Just sit here. It'll be over. It'll all be over in just a minute. And your heart's pounding out of its chest going, "You got to go. And you got to go. And you got to go." And your mind's going, "No, just wait. Just wait." Hey, listen, and God is driving a wedge right in your heart. Hey, listen, he's telling you, "You got to be born again. Hey, you must be born again." Hey, listen, it's the word of God. It's the blood of Christ. He's causing the division in your life. Hey, listen, don't listen to the devil. Don't listen and die lost. But listen to what God is speaking to your heart. And let him divide you. Let him separate you from the carnality of this world. Let him move you. Let him set up and put in you a new creature. Paul said, I was born, reborn. He said, "I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old things have passed away." That's what happened when we were saved. All the carnal things that the mind and heart were in agreement with, they were in agreement with one another. The blood of Christ drove a wedge between them. And put in me a heart of flesh. Took out the heart of stone. Made a difference in there. Oh, I still have the carnal mind. But I'm glad that what's inside of me is more powerful than what's on the outside. Because the carnal body and the carnal mind, this carnal man, is still sin nature. It bears the marks of sin. It bears the age of sin, it bears, hey listen, the wages, life itself, as it's prolonged, this old body decays. That's because of sin. And someday the body's going to go back to the dust because of sin. But what God put inside of me, what had been separated from him through the disobedience of Adam, had now been reconciled back to him through the righteousness and the love of Christ and through my faith in God and faith in Jesus Christ and the salvation, that portion that's been made new goes back to God.
Amen.
And my soul is rest,
that's right,
at rest with God.
Amen.
Aren't you glad? He's divided me.
Amen.
Because the body was dying. Until that day, my soul was dying. But when the division came, now my soul doesn't die in the lake of fire. But my soul lived forever in heaven. And so now my soul, listen, is sealed until the day of redemption. There's coming a redeeming time when God's going to call me back. And there's even coming a more blessed day, according to the scriptures, when he's going to give me a brand new body.
Amen.
One that's glorified.
Yeah.
Likened unto his. Christ Jesus come out of the grave in a glorified body. The Bible tells us we're going to be raised. We're going to put on a new body. Our soul Hey, listen, God's going to give us a brand new body. We're going to enter in. And we're going to be united to the perfection of what it was in the beginning.
Amen.
You believe that? Yes. Read your Bible. Read your Bible.
Amen.
But the souls of all them that are died lost, they're going to come out of the grave. The Bible says that hell will give up the dead that are in them. I believe that's the souls of the lost that are dying now. But hell and the grave will give up the dead that are in them. And the sea will give up the dead that are in them. And we'll all stand before God. But those that have been saved by the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ that had that division in their life. And listen, we're going to walk through the gates of heaven together.
Yeah.
We're going to go in singing the praises of God.
Amen.
The Bible says that Satan and all of his demons and devils and angels and all those that did not have part with the first resurrection said they'll be cast into the lake of fire.
Right.
Hell will be cast into the lake of fire. Grave will be cast in the lake of fire. Satan will be cast in the lake of fire. And all those that did not believe in Christ will be cast into the lake of fire. And they'll never be with God. They'll never have another opportunity. They'll never hear another gospel message. They'll never feel the power of God walk by their way and speak to their heart, calling them. But while we're here, what is my purpose? My purpose is to do the purpose of God and the will of God. What's your purpose? Your purpose is to do the work of God and the will of God. The Bible said it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
So if you die lost, you're going against the will of God. You're going against the love of God, and you're going against the purpose of Jesus Christ. And you're doing it on your own. God didn't purpose anybody to be in hell. Didn't purpose one soul of man to be in hell or in the lake of fire. But people go there on their own and they choose it for themselves. I love you this morning. I'm glad that Jesus still passes by.
Amen.
I'm glad for what we feel in our heart.
Amen.
And as long as we live in this world, we need to know that there will be division in this life. The world will hate us. Christ Jesus told us plainly, He said, "Know this, they hated me before they hated you." And He told us plainly the world would hate us. So it is really no surprise. Sometimes I'm only surprised at how bad it's gotten in my lifetime. And it's a sad state that we're in. But if we look at the Scriptures, it's just a sign of the things that are going to come. We know that all these things are going to come to pass. But be of good courage and be of good cheer. Because the Lord's coming. And we're going home someday. But while it is day, let us work. And let's let our light shine to a lost and dying world. Continue to love your neighbor. Continue to love those that are lost. Continue to pray for them. Continue to lift them up. Continue to shine a light. And know that God loves you. And God's blessings are being poured out upon His children. I love Him this morning. I thank Him for this day. Let's stand to our feet while they sing. You can get on this altar and come and pray. Have you been separated and divided from the world? Or do you look for kinship and friendship in the world? Do you search for friendship in the world, or do you search for friendship in the Lord? Because you're not going to have both, because they're not in agreement. I don't know about you, but I want to be a friend to God. I want to feel His presence. I want to feel Him when He comes by. I want to feel the power of the Spirit. We know that life here is short. If a man lived 100 years, it's still a blink of an eye. while we're here, we're here for the purpose of the Lord. It's not our creation, it's His creation. It's not our world, it's His. It's not our church, it's His. He loved us when we didn't love Him. He chose us when we didn't choose Him. He died for us when no one else could, no one else would. Joshua, I believe it was, said, "Choose this day who you serve." I mean, he had seen the power of God all his life. He had watched God bring them through every battle, defeat every enemy, led them right into the land of promise, and give them rest right in the heart of the enemy's camp. And God wiped out the enemies all around them. Joshua looked at him and said, "Choose who you'll serve. But as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord." He reminded him of everything God had done. He said, "You're right in the middle of the enemy's territory, and God has wiped them away. God is feeding you with the fruits of the ground that you didn't even plant. You never labored for them. God's just feeding you with them." He was reminding them of all the things that God had blessed them with. I'm still amazed at how people can look at the lives of a Christian and see all the blessings that God has done. How God has walked with them, blessed with them, and an individual can go through life in the hardest of times with a smile on their face, knowing that God will never leave them and never forsake them. And people will look at them and be an eyewitness to that and turn their back and say, "I don't want to have anything to do with it." When the only hope and the only peace that there is in Christ. So what do, preacher? We let our light shine. Pray for them. Be a witness. Have a testimony. Anything on our heart this morning?